Now we're turning to Daniel chapter 5, please. And we'll unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for Thy blessings to us again. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast lifted us out of the mire and pit of sin. We bless Thee for what Thou hast done for us. And our God, as we come to Thee tonight, we thank Thee that Thou art a merciful God. And our Father, we'd ask Thee that Thou wouldst have mercy tonight. O God, we are going to speak about a day of judgment, really. And we're going to speak about a day when God stepped into a scene of joyousness and brought that joy to an end. But Lord, we realize that it is the intention and desire of the Lord that men and women might have real joy, wonderful joy, in their hearts and in their lives. And so, our God, we pray that Thou wouldst help us tonight and bless us as we consider Thy word, and that it might be blessed to our souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. The events that we're reading of this evening in Daniel chapter 5 were world-shaking events. They were history-making events. What we're actually reading of here in this chapter is the fall of the Babylonian Empire and the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire under Darius and Cyrus here. And the banquet that Belshazzar, the ruler of Babylon, had prepared for his guests would have taken place in 539 B.C. And Belshazzar was the son of Nabonidus, the king of Babylon. Nabonidus was an explorer, a great lover of archaeology. And because of his interests, because he had military interests as well, he was often away from Babylon. And because of that, he set his son Belshazzar in charge. Now, the fact that there's a mention of a king whose name was Belshazzar was often called the Achilles' heel of Daniel, the book of Daniel, because the historians and the archaeologists had never heard of a king whose name was Belshazzar. They'd heard of Nabonidus, but they'd never heard of Belshazzar. But in recent years, not that long ago, archaeologists have discovered the man whose name is Belshazzar, and they have shown us that Nabonidus did place his son upon the throne when he was away from Babylon so much. Now we read here about Belshazzar, who'd made a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles. It must have been a magnificent thing indeed. We can imagine the scene as the night shadows lengthened upon 250 towers of the city of Babylon. Alongside that city there flowed the mighty river Euphrates, with the fiery colors of the setting sun twinkling upon its waters. Above it stood the mighty hanging gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world. No doubt the lovely garden was set with flowers, and the heady fragrance of the flowers in that garden were wafting their way down the streets and the lanes of Babylon upon the eastern breeze. And here was a royal eastern banquet. Now imagine the streets as they swell with riot and laughter and song. And we think of the rushing of the people as they come to the palace, and the chariots clothed upon in gold and with fire-eyed horses of Arabia drawing them down the streets. Here were the kings and the governors of all of the kingdom of Babylon. None was willing to miss an event like this. Not only were they to come under the presence of their king, but they had the chance of eating in this great feast wonders and delicacies that they had never seen and only dreamed about. See 1,000 lords dismount from their chariots. Adamer knew that the gates. And we see the embroideries that they're wearing, and the silks and the satins, and their turbans flashing with emeralds, and their shawls with jewelry. By what a scene we see. This was a royal eastern banquet. Open the gates wide. Let them all come in. The chamberlains are there. The cups are ready. The trumpet sounds. The cymbals crash. And they begin to pour out the wine, and they lift the banners and fill the cups and bring in the dancers, and the party begins. And it's all dance and song and indulgence. And the signal is given, and the lords and the ladies and the governors come around the table, and the toast is given. O Belshazzar, live forever. And again another toast. O Belshazzar, live forever. And now they're calling for more wine and more wine. And soon the cries begin to fade into a drunken debauchery. The drunken drawl, the idiotic laughter becomes the feature of the feast. And soon the party slips down into debauchery. Of course, the feast was an act of defiance, because outside the gates of that city, Darius the Median was there, Cyrus was there, and he had an army, and he had almost despaired of ever taking Babylon. But here were these people inside a besieged city, and they were having a feast. And that was an act of defiance to say, we have enough food in here. We can hold a feast. We can have all the wine and the women and the song. And then it turned into an act of sacrilege, because they brought the vessels of the temple of God, the silver of the temple, and they brought it to that place. And they drank to the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. And my, it turned into an act of sacrilege. But look, on the plaster of the wall, there's a hand, a finger, that comes. And it begins to write upon the wall. And suddenly the music stops. And the glasses and the goblets fall. And there's a gasp as that party comes to an end. And there's a shriek of horror. And they say, let Daniel be brought. And he interprets the writing, and he says to Belshazzar here, thy kingdom is weighed. They're weighed in the balances and found wanting. And meanwhile, outside, the Persians were digging a canal. They were diverting the Euphrates. And as the party continues, the level of the Euphrates is going down, their great bulwark, their great defense. And now you hear the tramp of military feet coming to the doors of the banquet. And the conquerors come up the palace stairs. And the soldiers rush in with 1,000 swords. And death bursts upon the banquet. And soon death comes in. And there's nothing but torn banners and broken reeds. And overturned tables. And the blood of murdered women and men. And the tumbled carcass of a dead king. Because the Bible says in verse 30 of this chapter, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. There was death at the feast. And men and women, tonight as we come into this place, your world may consist of feasting. Your world may consist of parties. Your world may consist of laughter and drunkenness and everything else. But I want to tell you that death can come to the feast. And I want us to think about that solemn thought tonight for a few minutes. Here was the party at the palace, but how that party comes to an end. Look at Belshazzar's banquet here for a few minutes in our meeting this evening. There are a number of things about that banquet that I want you to see. First of all, notice the writing at the banquet. If you look at verse 5 of Daniel chapter 5, it speaks about that writing. It says, in the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and rolled over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And just as the party is at its height, God broke in. The God of heaven begins to write judgment upon the plaster of the wall. Notice the unexpectedness of the writing. Here was a man, and his people were engaged in a drunken orgy. His thoughts were very far from the Word of God. His thoughts were very far from the things of God. But the Word of God comes in, because this is what this is. The finger that writes, is it as it were the finger of God? This is God writing. And it's one of the times in the Bible. You know, God that when he writes his word, he gets men to write his word very often. But this is one of the few places in the Bible where God actually does the writing himself. He wrote upon the tables of the Ten Commandments. And we think of the Savior who wrote upon the ground. But here again, it's the Lord. He's actually writing. And this is God's word that breaks in. You know, in most places where people are partying, they don't think about the word of God. It's the last thing they think about. In the pubs this evening, people are thinking about the things of God. In the parties that there are this evening, people aren't thinking about the things of God. But sometimes God breaks into the feast. Sometimes there are those that come and God begins to speak to them in the most unexpected places. I think of that man. I read the story many years ago about the man who was going to kill himself. He was in despair and he went past one of D.L. Moody's meetings in London. And he just was very curious. He looked through the door of the meeting, and up above where D.L. Moody was preaching, there was a text lit in gaslight. I don't remember what the text was, but I think it was the text, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And as the man went away from there, he just saw the text, and he went away, and God began to speak to the man, and God began to deal with the man. It was the last thought that he had as he went out that night. But God breaks in sometimes, and I hope that God will break in and speak to you in this meeting. The Lord may be speaking to your heart. I hope He is. And we notice the unexpectedness of the writing. But also I want you to notice the starkness of the writing. There's not much flowery about this. There's not much held back. You notice how stark the message is. And when Daniel interpreted the light writing, the message was, "God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance, and thou art found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And the word here that God spoke there, he says, "Thou art weighed in the balance. God has numbered you." The word "numbered" there is a word that means God has appointed something for you. God has appointed. And Belshazzar here, though he was the ruler of the great empire of that day, God had an appointment for him to meet. Didn't matter how powerful he was. Didn't matter how strong he was. Didn't matter how many walls he was behind. How defiant he could be. God had made an appointment for him. Man or woman, God has an appointment for you, and you'll have to keep the appointment. You know what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. And he says it again in chapter 5. He says it in verse 21. It says, "God ruled in the kingdom of men, and they appointed over it whomsoever he will." And in 4:25 he says, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And man or woman, God still rules today. You say, "I don't acknowledge him. I don't care about this God. I'm not one of his people." It doesn't matter, dear friend. God rules over you. God has an appointment for you. Well, Belshazzar, he was an heathen. He was worshipping gods of silver and gold and stone and all the rest of it. But God has an appointment for him. You may think you have no allegiance to this God, but God has an appointment that you're going to have to keep. And God had a jurisdiction over Belshazzar and his kingdom. And God has a jurisdiction over you. You mayn't like that. But you need to face up to that tonight. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one day God will bring you to an end. You know, there are those that think to themselves, "Well, when it comes to the end of my life, God will weigh me in the balances. And he put all the good things that I've done on one side and all the bad things I've done on the other side. And if the good things outweigh the bad things, I'll be all right." Well, dear friend, when God speaks to you, what will be his verdict? If you're not in Christ, his verdict will be "found wanting." Because there's something wrong with your reasoning. And this is it, that you have righteousness, that there are good things. Because the Bible says that all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There is nothing, dear friend, that you can bring to God. You can be sure that when God weighs you up, you'll be found wanting.
And Daniel had to face the king with that. It wasn't a too pleasant message to bring to him. I'm sure that Daniel didn't want to bring a message like that. And I would far rather give you some message that would tickle your ears tonight, that would be pleasant to you. But I've got to be faithful to you. I've got to tell you as it is. And man or woman, there is a judgment that you have to face. And God will bring you into account one day. And God says, repent. And God's salvation is freely offered to you today. And you need to take that salvation. Well, I can't flatter you tonight. I can't tell you things that you love to hear. I've got to tell you as it is. You know, there was a preacher many years ago, Hugh Latimer, old Bishop Hugh Latimer. One time he was brought before Henry VIII. And he preached a sermon. And the king was old. As a man who was of unsettled character, he wavered and he went from one thing to the other. And old Bishop Latimer, he preached a sermon that he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And Hugh Latimer offended the king by his sermon. And somebody said to him, and the king said, come back next week, you're going to preach the sermon again. And Hugh Latimer knew that the king was able to take his life, and that he was able to put him in prison. And he had a great turmoil during that week about what he would do. But he came back next week to preach the sermon. And the king was sitting there in front of him. And he said to the king, well, I realize that you are the great and the mighty king. I know that you can take away my life or put me in prison. But he says, I have a greater king before whom I must stand. And he took the same text again. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And men and women, I've got to declare to you what it is that God's word says. You've got to repent. No righteousness that you have will merit eternal life. But you've got to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women, we see the writing of the feast. Thou art weighed in the balances. God has balances. God will bring you into account one day. And as God puts you in the balances, are you as you are, you're found wanting. We see the writing at the banquet. But then I want you to see something else. There's a warning at the banquet. God warns this man. And the warning is this. That things in life can change very quickly. Because you notice that there's a great difference. You look at the feast here between what happened at the beginning of the banquet and how things were at the end of the banquet. There's no doubt that as the banquet started here, that there was great parties and joy. And my, you think of the people as they made their way to the banquet. They were filled with hope. Why, what a grand thing. How grand it looked at the start of the banquet. But you come to the close of the banquet, and you look at this scene, and you'll see a scene of horror, and you'll see a scene of blood. The King of Terrors is at the feast. And the long human blood is mingled with the wine. And the dying groans of men and women is the only music at that feast. You see, men and women, things can change. Things can change. And let me say to you, dear men and women, there's a banquet of sin spread for you today. It's spread before you in the presence, and it invites you. And sin is a very enticing thing. They're the most enticing deities that are there. The world spreads a rich banquet. But at the end of that feast, there is death. There's death at the end of the feast. And the writing on the wall here, speaking of God's judgment, and it says, at that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Things can change. And men and women, I want to tell you tonight that things can change. Young man here, you're caught up in the drink. And you say to me, well, when I drink, I'm happy. When I drink, things are changed for me. It exhilarates me. And I love the drink. And I talk better. And I laugh better. And I feel better when I have the drink. Perhaps you say, well, you're prejudiced against it, but I certainly think it does me good.
But a few years pass on, and maybe you wake up, you feel yourself clutched in this evil habit that you can't break. Many a man who has thought of drink exhilarating him, and he cries out, if no one can help him, and no one can. No one can help you. The Bible says, it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder. It's very different at the end from it is at the beginning. You think of the young woman. She starts off at the dance. How bright it seems at the start. Oh, just a few dance steps. How exciting. The bright lights. The music. The young men. But soon the excitement fades. And then there needs to be another excitement. There needs to be something more. And maybe the drink is there. Or the drugs are there. Or something else is there. And the bad company is there. And the cup that was sparkling is now full of poison. I think of young men tonight that were involved in running some of the socials. They're at the nightclub tonight. I can think of at least three of them who are at the nightclub because you're always enticed further and further. This night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Sin may be bright in the morning, but it ends in the dark of night. And men and women, I want you to see that. I want you to see the warning of this portion of Scripture. Because it always starts out so bright, but it ends up so dark. And we see the warning that there is at the banquet. But then I want you to think about the wrath poured out at the banquet. You see, death and judgment came to this banquet. And notice that death came suddenly here. When they were in the middle of the feasting, this death broke in. And we remind ourselves of how death can come suddenly. You can think of the 150,000 people that were caught up in the tsunami in the Indian Ocean. And many of those people were swimming, we're told, in the swimming pools. And there they were in these sun-kissed islands. And they were walking along the beach and the turquoise waters. I saw a thing during the week, a little video that somebody had taken. And there you have the holiday brochure kind of a scene. And the turquoise sea and the blue sky and the yellow sand and the green palm trees. And then just a few minutes later, it's all mud and water and devastation, swirling muddy waters all around. Oh, death breaks in at the feast suddenly. You think of the same thing of the death of Princess Diana. There she was, the toast of the world's media, and everybody wanted to know her. And she was being wooed by the son of a millionaire. She'd been married to a prince of the realm, and everybody was listening to what Diana had to say. But my death broke in upon the feast. And many people can still remember where they were when the news came of the death of the young princess. And I'm telling you tonight, you don't know when the destroying angel may come. When the destroying angel came to Egypt, did the people know he was coming? No, they didn't. They didn't hear the flap of the wing. They didn't hear a rush that told them that the angel was upon the way. No, the death came to the feast suddenly. Comes suddenly. But not only does it come suddenly, but it comes surely. You know, you think of the walls of the city of Babylon. The walls of Babylon were 350 feet high. They were 87 feet thick. There were brass gates that controlled the entrance to the river Euphrates. And Belshazzar was relying upon all those things that he would be preserved. The great Euphrates flowed all round and right through the city, and it became a defense for them. But you know, there's no defense when God breaks in.
There's no defense when God breaks in. Death can come. Surely it will come, surely. And it's to come in spite of the fact they didn't believe. And God spoke with a finger. God wrote with the finger upon the wall. You know this? When Belshazzar's knees had stopped knocking, it says that his knees shook. It says there in that portion of Scripture that when he saw the writing on the wall, that his knees shook. But you know, as soon as his knees stopped knocking, it says that his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another in verse 6. But you know, as soon as he got over that, he forgot about the Word of God. He didn't believe the Word of God, even though there was a finger of God writing upon the plaster of the wall. Because you notice what he did. If you look at verse 29, it says that then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. You know what he'd be just told? He'd been told that his kingdom was over. His kingdom was at an end. What's he doing? He's appointing Daniel to be the third ruler of the kingdom, as if his kingdom wasn't over at all. He didn't believe. He didn't believe. But that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. He might have wanted to dismiss it. He might have wanted to say it doesn't matter. He might have put it to the back of his mind. God's word came to pass. There are those of you here tonight and you're unprepared for the eternal word. There are those of you here and you're living without God and you're living without hope. And let me tell you, dear man or woman, you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when those lungs will stop breathing and that heart will stop beating. And you have an opportunity to get right with God now. There's coming judgment. There's coming eternity. And one day you will face the sentence. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. But here's the invitation. He says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Here is the truth, that Christ died for the ungodly. And here's the opportunity. He says, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." Will you come to him tonight? Don't let God break in upon your party in judgment. But seek the Lord while he may be found. And call upon him while he is near. May God draw you to himself for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. Realize the solemnity of what we've been speaking about. But our Father, we realize that death can come to a feast. We realize that perdition can break in upon a party. I would ask thee that men and women might be wise and come and find thee as their Savior. The one who said to Belshazzar, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." We realize that God has balances. There is a day of an accounting that men must face and women must face. And so, Lord, have mercy tonight and draw men and women to thyself that they might be saved for Jesus' sake.